Thus far, we've talked about three of our roles. First, we've let our pup's mom do her job mothering and nursing her puppies. We know that her mothering and milk provide pups the best start in life. Then we've created an environment that supports mom and puppies by ensuring they're all comfortable and safe. We've monitored all of them to ensure both the bitch and puppies are healthy and well-fed. And in the next two modules, we're going to talk about our final job, gently stimulating our pup's senses. Although neonatal pup senses have limited functionality soon after birth, we actually have much work to do during these early weeks. Most of our effort goes into developing the pup's somatosensory and kinesthetic systems. We can also start developing the puppy's sense of smell now. And although we can influence a puppy's sense of taste through its mother's food, most of us don't bother. Why do we want to stimulate the senses of neonatal puppies? Well, there's two main benefits of doing so. First, we create more finely tuned adult senses, and second, more resilient, stable adult temperaments. So how does that happen? How can doing things with blind and deaf neonate puppies have such a great influence on them as adults? Well, it starts because we're influencing the pup's developing nervous system. Remember back in Module 2.1, Canine Development, we discussed nerve cells? Well, these nerve cells make up the dog's entire nervous system from brain to tail. Remember, they become more myelinated or insulated with use, and the more myelin they have, the faster and more effectively they work. Nerve cells connect to each other through synapses, and those synapses are discarded if they aren't used, and more are created if nerve cells need to connect to each other a lot. The neonatal brain is undergoing rapid transformation in all of these components of the nervous system during this time. So neonate stimulation increases myelination of and synapses between nerve cells involved in the pup's sense of touch, proprioception, equilibrium, and smell, enabling it to use those senses even better than normal as an adult. Interestingly enough, this improved sensing does not make dogs hypersensitive, and in fact it has a stabilizing effect in many ways. Now let's get started by digging into the somatosensory and kinesthetic systems. Those are some pretty big words. So we commonly just call the somatosensory sense touch, but it's far more complex than that. Just to review, this system includes the ability to experience temperature, pain, pressure, and vibration. It's closely related to the kinesthetic system, which enables the dog to know where its body is in and how it is moving through space. It combines proprioception and equilibrium. It results in coordination and the ability to move well. The somatosensory and kinesthetic systems are spread through all major parts of a dog's body, including the central nervous system, skin, whiskers, hair follicles, muscles, joints, and even organs. Both systems are reasonably well developed when puppies are born, but they continue to mature in the early weeks through three things. First, mothering. We've already talked about the power of mothering and the health and temperament outcomes that result from the licking, nuzzling, cleaning, poking, and touching that mothers do with their pups. Our role in the mothering process is to give our dog moms the care and environments they need to mother well. But now let's investigate our other roles in developing pups' somatosensory and kinesthetic systems through neonatal handling, the touching and holding that we do with pups both informally and formally, and finally, the interactions we provide to puppies with inanimate and animate objects that stimulate their bodies. Gentle pre-weaning handling provides many short and long-term effects for puppies, like other mammals. These include increased vitality and activity levels, which increases survival rates in puppies, more confidence both in puppyhood and adulthood, and greater resistance to disease. Early handling has a significant positive effect on learning and problem-solving abilities, as well as reducing reactive emotionality, which in dogs usually comes out as fear or aggression. All of these effects create what is known as stress inoculation. Just as we vaccinate puppies against disease, the development we offer them early in their lives inoculates them against lifetime stress. And this increases their resilience, courage, and tolerance as adults. Now, you might be thinking that stress inoculation, resilience, and courage make sense for working dogs, which of course they do. But they're also very important for all of our dogs that must be safely cared for by us and their veterinary team, act as companions for our children, and live with us everywhere in the world, including cities. So how do we inoculate our puppies to stress? Through both informal and formal activities. Informal handling includes care and cuddling. We should be handling our puppies regularly, so they'll be getting lots of stimulation during twice daily weighings, toenail trims every 3 to 4 days, and movements in and out of the whelping box so it can be cleaned and rearranged. And as busy as we are, I hope we have time for just enjoying the puppies, cuddling, kissing, breathing gently into their nostrils, watching TV with them, and just hanging out with a pup or two each night provides many benefits, both to them and to us. If you have hardy puppies and polite children, let the kids interact with the puppies too. Now, many breeders don't allow their puppies to have visitors until very late in puppyhood. We take a different approach, allowing guests to interact with the pups as soon as the bitch is comfortable and the pups are physically stable. Sometimes that's as early as day 3, but it can be as late as day 14. Our puppies are relatively sturdy creatures, being golden retrievers, and our friends are very respectful of our rules. If you want to try it, here's how we do it. First, we're very clear with our guests that we need them to help us protect our pups against disease. During the neonate period, shoes aren't allowed in the house. We ask visitors to wear clean clothes that haven't been to the dog park, the veterinarians, training class, or dog shows since laundering. And we ask them to do a surgical scrub on their hands and arms before seeing the pups. We will, as I said, allow well-behaved children who listen well to enjoy our pups, but we supervise them very carefully. Children's play can be fabulous for puppies in its creativity, but it can also get out of hand. So kids need to be watched. With or without guests, we clean very well during this period with the products we discussed in Module 4.3, and we've already run a titer on our dam, so we know when the pup's maternal antibodies are protecting them and when they're at risk for both distemper and parvo. We'll talk more about titers and nomographs in a later module, so stay tuned. In addition to informal handling, many breeders also do a formal program called Early Neurologic Stimulation, ENS, or Biosensor. This is another rare area where we do something with our puppies that's not supported by science. Despite its widespread popularity and claims, ENS has no scientific support. In fact, the few studies that have been done to test it found no effects. So why would we do something that may not benefit our puppies? Good question. We do it because we think that formalizing daily handling into 25 seconds a day, at a time that we're often very tired and busy, isn't going to harm the puppies and may well gain them these wonderful benefits. We've been doing ENS on our litters since 1995 when Dr. Carmen Battaglia first published about it in the AKC Gazette. The most notable benefit that we have seen is that our active high-drive puppies are more handleable than you would expect by 6 weeks of age. I can't say whether we've gained the other benefits, but we do continue to do ENS. So what exactly is it? Well, it's 5 exercises, each of which is done for only 3 to 5 seconds, done once a day, starting on day 3 and continuing until day 16. The exercises don't have a specific order, so can and should be done in a different order each day. These exercises include holding the puppy firmly but gently with its head pointing towards the ceiling, and then with its head pointing towards the ground. Holding the puppy on its back, still for only 3 to 5 seconds. Puppies don't usually like these last 2 positions, so may cry and struggle, but they're not being harmed by this very mild stress. Then using a Q-tip, tickle the hair or skin between the toes on 1 foot for 3 to 5 seconds. Choose a different foot each night. And finally, placing the puppy on a cold towel, mat, or other object. Just for a few seconds, so it won't be long enough to drop its body temperature. We found that a damp towel kept in the refrigerator elicited no reaction from our golden retriever puppies. So we now use a damp towel or pie plate kept in the freezer. Use what makes sense for your breed and your puppies. This is what ENS looks like in a single session. Watch how Mama Dreamer keeps an eye on the activities and how the puppy handles my manipulations. So there you have it. It's short, it's easy, and it may help your pups. Hopefully we'll get some additional research done supporting formalized handling in the future. But in the meantime, we just want to handle puppies every day, gently and firmly, and not always in the way that they want. We also want to stimulate puppies by giving them things aside from their mother and people to safely interact with. Stuffed animals are great options. This is a snuggle puppy, a product that we love because it has a very realistic heartbeat, which is particularly good for singleton and twin puppies. However, you can also incorporate other textures into your pup's lives, such as during weighing. You saw the plastic storage container that I used in the video, but you can also use plastic, glass, metal, or wood bowls. Be sure to monitor the pups for chills, but if they're strong, healthy puppies, let them interact with many different safe textures. Finally, we start problem solving early with pups using this wonderful pyramid toy made by Zanies. It's not always available, so buy it when you see it. Since neonatal puppies can't back up, they have to figure out how to get through the toy. We naturally monitor them very closely while they figure it out, which can take a while. This little guy nursed while wearing his pyramid, he slept, he hung out, and finally he made his way through it. All good, safe development for him. Other animals can provide additional interactions for puppies if and only if their mother welcomes the help. But if she does, allowing other dogs or even good cats to engage with the puppies is not only good for puppies, it can be a great way to prepare young bitches to become mothers or satisfy the maternal instincts of older, retired moms. In all cases, gentle interactions with other animals introduces the pups to new touches and smells. It may seem like we haven't done much in this segment, since we're mostly cuddling and caring for our puppies. But handling and our other interactions dramatically develop puppies' brains and bodies. Touching, picking up, and manipulating our puppies during these first 2 weeks sets them up for a healthier future. Depriving puppies of these simple activities may hinder their ability to develop normally, even with extensive efforts later in life, as has been seen in people and other mammals. We consider all of our engagements with our neonate puppies as developmental, from checking them over to ensure they're healthy, to providing basic care and weighing them, moving them in and out of the box for cleaning, and simply enjoying them at the end of the day.